to the Lithbill podcast, where to entertain and inform a bit while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run with Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm AR Paul for asking twice what Lugamon's ultimate form will look like.
I'm Dev Q, and I'm just McFucking dead.
Is that different from loving being dead?
I'm not loving this.
How has the last 2 weeks been for everyone?
Fine. Oh yeah, I had a convention last week. That was all right.
I feel okay today. If you had asked me yesterday, the answer would have been different. You know those days when you go to sleep late, you're like, it's fine, I have plenty of time to sleep. And then 3 or 4 hours later, you wake up feeling terrible, can't get back to sleep. And then it's just the whole day, head's pounding, blah, blah. Had that, went to sleep, feel mostly better now.
I got to see Brian Beacock again, and so I guess I can't complain.
That's not bad.
Lots of antibiotics.
Let's go into everyone's favorite topic. It's Seekers. I'll be honest. I really fucking hated 2-9. It feels like it jumps around way too much for what it is. And I don't like when light novels depend on the art to tell you something.
Yeah, that really annoyed me.
That annoyed the shit out of me, because later it does clarify that it's probably a DigiPlease, but I don't believe it.
Yeah.
It gives something away out of where you're reading.
It's irksome.
I feel like I might have been, and here's the thing, that happens pretty early in the jumping around, so I may have just been in a bad mood at that point.
It was after the first scene, and
it starts to jump around, and I was just, I may have just been in a bad mood because they did that, because it's not in context to the actual story.
It completely throws you out of things, because it's like, oh, another woman goes in and AG walks out and they show the picture and it's the cop.
Yeah.
I'm that seems important.
Like, here's the thing. If the angle was just showing him walking out and showing a female police walking in, that'd be fine. The problem is she's the focus of it.
She's a character.
Yes.
Like, that's, we know her name,
like,
and
you know,
stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point,
Also, they don't actually cut back to, so we never find out the context of what they were talking about.
So the instant I saw that, I was just kind of in a bad mood. So I may be being unfair to the rest of it, but I really hated how quickly it started jumping around.
I was okay with the jumping around in most of the contexts, because they were trying to set up the whole idea of, this is what Leon's life is like, this is what his relationship with Pulsemon is like, versus this is what Eiji's life is like, this is what his relationship with Lugamon is like, and it's such a hot mess. You know, Pulsemon is like, yeah, I've got you. Like, I know you're going to want this. You're going to ask for this. I'm going to. And then Lugamon's like, you want something? Go get it yourself, idiot.
I think what annoyed me about the jumping around, it feels like the jumping around you do at the end of a light novel, where it's telling you things for the next one. The problem is we're not done with anything yet. So all of a sudden, jumping around, it just feels kind of manic.
It's written again like it's supposed to be a TV show.
We're
getting a quick shot of Leon's life, splash forward over to
actual visual media.
It would work better.
It doesn't read as a TV script to me. It reads more like it was meant to be a really short light novel, and it's just like different pieces have been expanded. I don't know. It just feels really fucking weird. And then chapter 10's like much better, but also chapter 2-10 felt much better, but also a lot of the character details feels like it's things that it's treating it like we really know the characters and we don't.
I mean
stuff like when they stick on Leon being overly self-righteous, that's something that's been clarified to us and we understand it. But then they sort of do the same thing from AG's perspective. And I think from reading AJ stuff, it did feel like he was looking for to make a name for himself, and now it's more like about the honor of it.
Yeah, I think it's...
And, like, that feels, wasn't really framed well.
It feels like they're really trying hard to get us into AJ's worldview, which, from an objective standpoint, seems really skewed towards... He has a weird viewpoint on everything. Also, like, he's like Leon has a pretty, what seems to be a pretty stable middle-class life, so AJ's like, oh, you're just tons of privilege, you can afford to have all these tough, you can afford to have all these rigid viewpoints, I had to scrape for everything, and blah, blah, blah.
But that's the thing, though, is his thing was about scraping for it, but then he starts talking about, like, no, it's the honor and doing what I'm gonna do, and it's like, but that's not what you just fucking said and have been doing the whole time. It's been about improving his lot in life and making a name for himself. But all also, of a sudden, it's like they want him to be the anti-Leon all of a sudden.
It's also like AG seems to like kind of have forgotten that he's a double agent for SOC. Like, it's like AG's almost like trying to defend these guys, even though his whole idea is to like help get inside and undermine them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole reason he's getting... Like, that's his paid position.
Yeah.
And knowing that Leon and the professor are working together, he might want to maybe ask a couple follow-up questions to the professor, who's suddenly seeming incredibly shady at this point.
Yeah, is it weird that, like, they went out of their way to not make him shady? And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, it's sort of like he's standing there like Dr. Wily doing the eyebrow thing. No, I'm being totally honest. We're here to help. Wink, wink.
He's like, he's totally pulling up, like, the way you view it now. Like, at first chapter is like, oh, yeah, he's just the kindly old professor who's a little out there and mad scientist-y, but now he's, like, totally looking like Emperor Palpatine. Yeah. Like, he's playing every side.
Also, is it
like,
weird?
Oh, he's got, like, hackers, he's got...
He's got hackers, he's got crackers, throwing, like, he's got the police.
Back and forth.
Also, an interesting plus-minus, Lugamon, they are very good at having his personality come through when he's evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Pulsemon, they're not. Pulsemon, it almost feels like they lose track of him when he evolves because they want him to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Like here...
He just goes like super robot.
Like here, and the book's excuse is like, well, he's playing the role of a god, so it would make sense that he would act like this. It's like, is that it? Like...
I don't know. I guess, I mean, that's not necessarily inconsistent with some of the personalities of the Megaforms we've had in past Digimon.
It feels like it feels cheaty here, though.
It's explaining it kind of takes it away, though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that they're trying to justify it.
If it was just, because if they didn't explain it, you could just take it as Pulsemon having an ego.
I could just take it as when they evolve to Ultimate, they just don't have a personality much.
Yeah.
Like, I was gonna say even Ghost Game kind of dodges that, but it really doesn't necessarily.
It's weird it's weird for me, because for me, it feels like 2-9 is the worst we've seen, but there's some stuff in it I really like, and it feels like 2-10 is close to the best we've seen, but there's stuff I absolutely fucking hate in it that just annoys the shit out of me.
I'm
just
kinder.
Just the blender and redo it.
I'm kinder to 2-9, but it's not, it's still, like, we're still going off of Seeker's standards here. But yeah,
10 I enjoyed.
10, it's like, okay, I'm seeing the potential here. Like, what it should look like when it's firing on all cylinders.
If 2-10 was the same quality as every segment so far, we would probably feel very different about Seekers. Instead, it feels like, oh, a bit of positivity in the midst of being annoyed.
That's been my entire experience with Seekers. Like, I really do like the story. I just hate the way they're telling it.
Yeah, it is a very bad story that feels like it's constantly on the cusp of actually going somewhere and making me happy with it. And I can see, I'm standing on the cliff looking down, and I can see light shining down below. I just don't know if it will ever hit me.
I still think it's a good story. They're just telling it badly and taking forever to do it.
But that doesn't mean anything, because...
It doesn't, no. I mean, you're right. I'm just...
No, I know, but what I mean is, yes, if they took the story and wrote it better, it would be better. That's the point. It's not that different than what I was saying. I just can't... It just... sucks, and it feels like it's constantly on the cusp of not sucking.
Yeah,
like it's not like it's not so bad that I've written it off. I don't think it's going to get better though, but I can still see the possibility of it.
Yeah, that's
could
the
be
bit.
So good, but
like there's shit that I honestly was ready to say would not happen. Like I honestly thought they were fucking off and never using the girl again. The
Hatsune.
Yes. They've been integrating her in as a funny foil, and it works really well.
Hatsune Mocha.
Yeah, I saw that. I went, really? We're this lazy this much in?
You know what? Yeah. For online avatar names, that's
no, fine. It's fine.
Digimon did several Vocaloid crossovers. I mean,
they did one, and then they just keep using the art from it. But
I saw someone wearing a shirt from a Hatsune shirt at the convention I went to last week.
Yeah, I like that they're using her as a pseudo comic foil that Eiji clearly wants to chase after, but he's too busy, and also he just kind of thinks that he's too cool to deal with it.
I'm holding. I need to see where he goes. But
I'm saying I like that they're doing something with it. I'm not necessarily convinced they're going to go fun enough with it.
Right. Yeah, that's I'm in the same place there.
Yeah, and then we have two new batches of fan art, and then hey, look, two chapters of Dreamers. So first off, we get the I can't use Tai Chi and Zero Maru, so I'm just going to make characters that are exactly Tai Chi and Zero Maru,
and name him Joe
and his last name has an Easter egg in it, Wakiyama. If you remove the W, it's Akiyama. He's actually said that was on purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Eo Wakiyama.
Yeah. So that chapter 9 just has a lot of like winking to prior works fun. Mm-hmm. It's and then chapter 10 introduces Espeon.
Yay.
And Espeon and he's purposely annoying this time.
Yeah, this is how you're supposed to use Espeon.
Yeah, and there's whiffs of an adventure, and they make things seem familiar, and Pulsemon's just more and more of a weirdo, like when he pulls out a chair and starts just giving away information.
Yeah, I was just like, Espeon's in here, it's like, I'm gonna spy on him and go tell other places, and they're gonna reward me handsomely. Pulsemon's like, oh, they're already here, I'm just gonna go tell them myself.
I like how prior to the ward he pulls out the chair and am I wrong? Yeah. I may be misremembering. Did he have a pipe?
I have it pulled up. Give me a second. But
I think he had a pipe. I may be imagining that though.
Yes. No, he had a pipe.
Okay. Good.
He absolutely had a pipe. It's fantastic.
Like in my head, he has a pipe, but I don't know if that's was true or remembering it. So I'm glad to hear he did.
He had a pipe.
Yeah. And this is one of like the explicit, hey, there's a cartoon on with this character. We should have this character appear.
And then the cartoon let us down so much with that character.
And the first episode with him was really good, though.
Was it? I don't remember.
We had all kinds of hope.
We thought he was going to with a whole subplot.
The first episode with him, we had all kinds of hopes about, like, introducing plot stuff. And then the next episode, within 5 seconds, they fucked it all off.
And then they go, just kidding, he's worthless.
Yeah. And then they showed off some of the comic award stuff in V-Jump. This is a really nice two-page spread, to be honest. I do need them to clarify the grand prize thing. I guess the grand prize was if they saw... I don't know what the grand prize thing is. Like, are they having them the winners pitch? Because there is no grand prize winner. So I guess we'll figure out what's going on with that.
The grand prize was the one-shots we got along the way.
The grand prize is they decide not to do that and just keep going with Dreamers.
I want more one-shots.
The winner was Tenya Yabuno. We'll just continue on. But yeah, I really like the two-page spread. It's nice to feature it that way. I would like more clarification as to what. Like, because here's where, like, people get confused. People are like, oh, are these Digimon manga now? No, these are things that, like, either these people already self-published or made for this. It's not like, as far as we know, we're not even getting, like, an anthology collection with them. I would like that, but...
I would shell out for that.
We'll see if they do anything. I would like them to do some type, at least do an anthology and give each person like one page to do something new or something. Because I don't know. I just want more manga.
I want to read that Leomon comic.
And then they show off the beginning and Seekers in V-Jump. Man, Seekers really lost a lot of space, didn't it?
I mean,
Seekers
it lost a lot of credibility too. So.
Seekers went from having like a full page every month to it has less than the CSAs.
You have a fourth. Yeah. You get a fourth of a page.
And then from 0-2, we get the storyboard theory. I love Armadamon holding the pages slash books. He looks so happy even in storyboard form.
He looks fucking demented.
And I love how they point out that Iori's appearance has not really changed, unlike everyone else.
No.
Iori has gained a foot, and that is about it. And Iori is also unique in that he's the only person with a new voice actor, and the old voice actor is also standing right there.
Still there.
And then it is time to go ahead and speed through some card stuff. Duffmon X looks great, that parallel card. And not only that, that's apparently like a sequel to a prior card where they were showed Duffmon and Yesmon battling Millenniummon. Metal Groomon X, some nice dynamic art. Not much to comment on. X Antibody PF, that is certainly them trying their best to do something with the X Antibody that is not identical to the prior card. Although notably, Grudamon X does not have a card yet. The Coronamon and Lunamon parallel cards, amazing homages to the covers of the games. Those are amazing. Yeah. They did a great job there. Because I could understand making them too close, and these are properly homages and not just, oh, we're redrawing the covers.
I want these two cards so fucking bad, you have no idea.
Apollo...
Somebody at the convention actually was taking Digimon cards and like cutting them out and turning them into buttons. It was really cute.
Oh yeah, a lot of people do that.
Oh, it's so good.
Then Apollomon, Dianamon, and Grace Novamon. I feel like the VIP here is Dianamon. I love using the water to show spinning. And if you look really closely at the staff, there's a very small curvature to show the spin. Apollomon looks great. Grace Novamon, I will give them credit. It is very hard to deal with the quote-unquote huge Digimon. And he's looked pretty solid in the art we have of him for the card game. But also, you can't do much because it's not like he moves around dynamically. His whole thing is basically he stands there and is big. Then we get the parallel cards for All Four Holy Beasts by Kenji Watanabe. All looks great. And once again, they did the shtick where they actually... did all four card previews the same day at the times where the clocks are facing the cardinal directions to match each one.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes, that's why
I see it. Okay.
That's why they did four previews those days. They did each one matching the direction. Then Huang Longmon. You know, people like this art. I have an issue with it. Am I wrong, or is he normally drawn like really big? He looks kind of thin here, like he's not eating enough.
He's modestly sized.
Like they want him to look regal, but it feels like anytime we see art of him, he's supposed to be like a hulking beast.
Yeah, he's not dominant.
Here it's like, I'm an honorable Garurumon who they painted gold.
There's the perspective's a little wonky on this one. You can't quite see.
You think it's a perspective?
It does look a little more King Ghidorah than anything.
I don't mean the physical size. I mean the proportions. Where like it feels like he's supposed to be chunky, sort of. And here he's kind of thin.
It's supposed to be like the arms and like the way the neck is.
Yeah, it feels thin. Then we have all the clean card images. This set had, really, we've come so far for the EX sets. The first one, I think, is the one where we bitch the most about the art because it was just all reused art with the most generic background possible.
And, I'm still salty over that.
And this is like one of the best ones we've seen. Then we have the clean parallel cards. We have the, they did the promo poster, the printable playmat. I like that they put up the comparison against the original Hyper Colosseum card for the Metal Garurumon X second one. See, this is the way they should be doing the old style cards, where you just get one or two every once in a while as a fun thing. You can't do the full set lazy ones. And then booster set 15. First off, Garurumon Ace. So this card's weird. I like it. It feels like they're aping like a Superman pose or something.
Yeah.
Like, I get what they're doing. Okay. But, like, it feels like someone pulled Superman out of art and then put Garurumon there.
It is bird now.
Yeah, something just feels slightly off.
Is it a bird? Yes, it is.
Yes. Then we get Pyokumon singing, which looks great. Wings of Love is one of the screen cap cards. They really need to clean these up if they're going to do that, because the rainbowing on this one is especially bad. And then the Sora card, I really do think they've done an amazing job for the original Adventure Kids, differentiating the style from the 2020 kids when they show up on the cards.
Yeah.
Like, which is like very small detailing differences makes you actually like go, oh, it's a different, it's not a different character, but it's a different version, and it feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it has to be the same art team putting these together, it just like really works for like Sora, for example.
Yeah, which is also really particularly tough to do with Sora, because this particular pose of Sora is not generic. It's not that different than you'd see with 2020 Sora. If you put that in like 2020 Sora's outfit, like, yeah, that I could.
Yeah. Where Garurumon Ace by Kenji Wanami. That is a great fucking card. And I know we saw the art because it's the key art. I love the Gabumon running.
He's trying so hard to catch up.
Then this one, I can't tell if it works better or worse, the Steel Wolf of Friendship. It feels like it works better than many of the screen cap cards, but it feels weird. Then we get Pico Devimon with very cute art featuring the Digimon, the other child levels from Pendulum 3. And then Barrier of Fog featuring, you can almost see Vamdemon do something in that screenshot.
Yeah.
And then, so the Vamdemon one, the Vamdemon Ace card, this is the kind of card I have to give credit to. When we saw the early previews from like V-Jump and stuff, I thought it was a CGI render.
So did I.
And instead, what it feels like it's meant to be, it feels like it's meant to be like an old European painting style of like a Dracula painting or something.
I don't know, I was kind of getting like the Digimon World 2 opening vibes, actually.
Maybe. Don't know. And then let's all give it to Betamon, who's doing a hot balloon race, possibly against the chipmunks. Also, just look at the Betamon on the right and his eyes. It looks like he's looking at something with awe.
Just admiring
or he's high.
A very nice sunset.
Yeah. And then we get Mega Seedramon. And this is, was it a Hyper Colosseum card? Hyper Colosseum card, where like the same thing's being done but in reverse, which fun. Then Enomalakarimon. It is always weird when I actually see him swimming. It feels like he should be scuttling.
You have him like scuttling, yeah.
Then we get Metal Seedramon. The thing I like about this card is they have the water going over the cardboard, but you can still see the card lines underneath.
Yeah.
This ooh, well. I did not even notice that.
Yeah, you can see the blue borders especially, where like the waves are going over it, but it's still drawn. Then the Nariomon's one's just really cute and works really well.
It's a kitty.
And Plotmon also.
It's a kitty. Yeah.
And then Holy Arrow is certainly, it's weird, I like the card, but I don't have much to say about it because it's Angelmon doing Holy Arrow.
I mean, it could be a screenshot. It's we'll give it that.
Then we get ace cards of Atler, Kabuterimon, and Anjuamon. The Anjuamon has a good vibe of, like, they love doing the, like, the angel descending art. Those ones work well. And then we get art of the greatest Digimon, Mochimon, seems to be showing a Babumon what an apple is.
Important life lessons.
Like, you are edible just like this.
And also, so tell me if you think that what I'm parsing from this Kabuterimon card is correct. Is he just flipping Kuwakumon over him?
That's what I thought, just because, like, that's what beetles do when they fight.
That's what I thought, but it's kind of hard to tell because of what's happening in it. I thought that's what was going on, though.
Yeah, because it looks like he's, like, upside down and just kind of, like, the action lines are him kind of, like, being yeeted.
Yeah. Yeah, then we get Clash of Knowledge, which is Adler Kabuterimon bashing through rocks. And then the Koshiro card's really good. I really like the Koshiro one.
Yeah.
I like that he has the laptop.
Am I wrong? Or unlike 2020 Koshiro, do they almost do it like his clothes don't quite fit him?
A little bit, yeah.
That's a weird, unique touch. And, like, I can't recall if Adventure ever did that, or if that's just their way to differentiate him in the art at the moment.
The original?
I don't think it felt like it didn't fit, did it?
At times it did. At times it, like, I mean, I'm not saying any of the characters really knew how to dress themselves, but with Koshiro it was a little more apparent.
Makes sense.
Mommy picks his clothes up for him.
And then how about some nice artsy art for Mushmon and his poison smush bombs? And also Woodmon, who is being Woodmon.
That's Woodmon, all right.
I really don't, like, I assume this is a reference to something in some game or something.
It's a reference to every time Woodmon has shown up in something.
Yes, but as it is, it's Woodmon standing there.
It's Woodmon, yeah. What else do you
and
want?
And then, okay, I love this Draimon art because it feels like Draimon wants to be menacing, but also he's playing with babies.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they're so cute.
And then Pinocchiomon. It looks like he's about to leap on someone.
I always feel like he's, like, jumping down out of the tree.
Oh, you think he's already jumped? I thought he was, like, leaning off of it.
Yeah, because, like, the way that the tree is blurred behind him, it feels like he's already, like, jumped and in motion.
Either way, it's already too late for you.
And then Gabumon chasing after a little thief who stole a different Gabumon's coat, and you can see the other Gabumon hiding behind the rock looking very worried.
It's like the letter E from the sample text covers more of the Gabumon than the rock does.
I love Kenji, the detailing Kenji Watanabe did here. Like, the Gabumon's leaping, and also you can see his own unique teeth.
I just like any picture with Babumon stirring up for trouble.
And then we get Groomon. I love the Gabumon riding the Groomon. It's like a battlefield or something.
He called in the reinforcements to get that coat back.
And then we also get Foxfire. This is very anime plus, the Foxfire.
Yeah.
I like when they do it, and it just, yeah. Seedramon. So Seedramon's interesting. It almost feels like it's inspired by the profile art. At least to me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I see that.
And then for Pukemon, so this one's interesting. You almost never see him from, like, straight forward. They love to do Pukemon from, like, the side or from a 3/4 angle. So it's just interesting to see him staring at the camera like that.
Really shows his gains. It's really been working out.
Yeah. And then Hagurumon spitting out lots of gears. I don't have much to say about it. I just really like the art.
It's a lot of gears.
And then Garjamon is guarding a factory and also telling people to stop in the name of love.
You shall not pass.
I wish he'd have a whistle.
That would work good.
Just want him to have a whistle in this.
Digimon in the background.
And then we can see the scale of Garjamon compared to a Gigadramon.
I don't think a whistle's going to stop him.
To be fair, he has, like, a little light wand now. And then I love Mugenjamon just, like, firing right at the camera.
There's a front shot that you want.
I also like how he's clearly charging up, and you can also see, like, steam being let out.
Look, you in particular.
Like, yep, you're dead.
And then Supreme Connection. So here's what's interesting. This was a Hyper Colosseum card, but the art in Hyper Colosseum was SD art of him facing off against a bunch of these Digimon. So this is basically a sequel to a Hyper Colosseum card. Of the same name.
This is the after picture.
Exactly. We also get a really high-resolution version of the promo poster, and we get a little preview of Paimon in it. And he has confetti. I don't know why that amuses me, but it does.
Jolly little clown was in the red balloons he has to take.
And then B-Jump had some nice card stuff. Most of the previews at this point we already went over. But I like when they do the nice card spreads. Then new info for sleeves. We have US details. We do not have Japanese details yet. Third anniversary key art, Lilithmon, the back of the Digi-Egg card design, and then negative colors of that. The Lilithmon, was that booster like one or two, I think? Two, maybe?
It was two.
I wonder if that's the art they're actually going to use, or if that's just like stand-in for new Lilithmon art. Because it's been a while
since
we've seen
that. Either way, I want these sleeves very specifically.
Oh, I do. I bought another set of sleeves. I bought a Rena set at the convention last week.
How's the pricing on those at the moment?
Not too bad.
Oh, good. Then Limited Card Pack 1 Ghost Game is up at Premium Bandai, as they revealed a while ago. Because this was only sold at events. This is not like a normal booster set. The price isn't bad. You get 10 packs of 6 for... Got the exchange rate so fucked at the moment. I think it's for $20.
Wow.
Last time I checked, $1 to yen. What is it right now? 146 yen to the dollar.
Wow.
Oh,
if you ever wanted to import something stupid, this is the moment. Because here's the thing. AR has been here long enough that he may remember what number I use for shorthand for exchange rate. Do you remember, AR?
Usually I just do the... I just lob off a couple decimals.
Yes, 100 to 1 is what because that's basically what it was for most of the time we've done the show.
That's what I've always used.
Yeah, at this point, it's basically like having an extra 50% cash.
Yeah.
So if you've ever waited to import something that you can find, now is the time to get it. So
the things I want literally released in the middle of September.
Good luck, Dev. And then for cards, we knew they were going to do stuff at the beginning. They told us. So at Tamer Battle events in October, they will have the beginning promo packs, which will have 14 cards. And the winner's card and lottery bonus card is Imperial German Dragon Mode Ace, which has some very nice anime style art. I love that, the art on that card. It's like based on his O2 profile art, but it's new. So I'm just really happy with that. And then EX events will have the same pack, and also the Japanese version of that Vemon Ramen promo card. That was Gen Con, wasn't it? I think.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And the EX event for October is block limited. You can only use cards that have the 2 or 3 block markers on them. So this is the first time that the blocks have actually been relevant to anything. And then for card battle, they've started doing EX05 matches. They've also shown off the events they've been doing. And that's... It's interesting. It feels like they're both more focused since Fun Digica ended, but also now that they're like the primary show and not like the secondary one, they do some less wacky stuff. Like they have to actually go over what stuff is, which they didn't have to when Fun Digica existed, because those would be dedicated to, here's what this booster set is, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like, now they actually have to, like, teach you some shit.
They could skip 90% of that stuff, because Fun Digica would have done it 2 days earlier. And then, the Digimon Collector's Blu-ray boxes, I like that they're available at a better price for those in Japan. A lot of it feels kind of, meh. So if you get all four, the bonus box is random line art with characters, some sideways, and we can also see the colors for all four shows. So, like, Adventure was orange, so we can assume the rest of these. O2's blue. Tamers is, like, fuchsia. And Frontier is a different orange. I don't know. I'm fine with the blue and the fuchsia. Why are two of them orange? Then
they run red.
Yeah, but the then we get the cloth poster. That's an Amazon exclusive.
Maybe,
and it's like,
maybe
okay.
That's why they don't have a Crosswords set yet. Because they're like, running out of reddish orange colors.
And then the cloth poster is, okay, it's the main characters from each season. That's fine. But also the colors don't match the colors of the sets. We get yellowy orange, which close enough. Blue, close enough. Red, which the Tamer's color isn't really red from the other box. And then Frontier's green. It's like, okay.
Why didn't you use green?
And then if you buy it from Animate, you get the can badges. Adventure's blue. O2's green. Tamer's is, I'll call it fuchsia enough.
Purple.
And then Frontier's orange. But there's another issue. Have you guys noticed the issue for the can badges? Adventure uses profile art. O2 uses profile art.
Profile art.
Tamer's uses profile art. Frontier uses the Blu-ray cover from the old Blu-ray box.
Which looks better than the profile art.
But Frontier has identical profile art to the rest. Why isn't it being used? Why?
I think the better question is, why aren't the other three using better art?
Okay, but here's the thing. If three of them were using Blu-ray art and one was using profile art, I'd be saying in reverse. But like, clearly there was a theme up until the last one.
This is the one time where Frontier is better than the others. Go with it.
And Frontier also gets its new Blu-ray set color. And these are, I think the first one's out actually in a couple days. Man, I'm not going to be digging for Blu-ray sales data for these. Since Kizuna, it's become such a pain to get Japanese Blu-ray sales numbers because it's just not a thing that's as easy to track down as it used to be. Then we have poll results for the second Ghost Game Prince, and the winner is, hey, look, it's Seriousmon. Did we all call this one?
Seriousmon, yeah.
And then second place is Gabumon jumping into Hiro's arms when he remembers him from the Betsumon episode.
We saw that one too.
Third place is the wedding dress one, which I remember calling and then you guys agreed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this was definitely going to rank very high.
And tied for third place is Lilithmon. So first place is obvious. Second place is, oh, the show had a touching moment. Tied for third place are Weebs.
Yeah.
Vote for the Goyles.
There's no surprise on any of those, I don't think. The biggest surprise is the touching moment was second. The touching moment was before the horny. And then the new poll, which covers the last three episodes. There are some interesting choices here. I'm trying to decide, like, what do I think is going to be number one? Looking at these...
I don't care what the number one is. I'm voting for Joshu.
Yes!
Number one, I think, is going to be that shot of the whole team towards the bottom right. Number two...
Yeah. No, I don't have that much hope.
It'll probably be Seriousmon.
Number two is going to be Seriousmon, and number three will be a tie between Terrybon Joshu and also this technically isn't horny, but I think people are going to do it anyways, is, what the fuck is her name? I forget.
Which one?
Crazy Digimon goddess turning her head sideways.
Quantumon?
Yes.
The one that technically didn't really even need to exist.
Yes. It's going to be Quantumon.
People are horny for Quantumon? Really?
No, I'm saying it's going to be the choice of the horny because there's no other horny choices.
That's getting a little desperate.
I mean, isn't that Ghost Game fans at this point? Like, we're definitely getting a season two. They're still saying it.
I think
it's the greatest series ever.
I'd put Galoose above Quantumon.
Galoose specifically, or
yes,
because I feel like it'd be the evolution Regulusmon.
Regulus, yeah, that one.
Yeah,
I think that one's going to be above Quantumon.
You know what? You know, I feel like we've missed an obvious one. Is the Gabumon one flying before he starts doing all the evolutions?
Maybe. I
can't decide if that's like the hidden one that's going to come up and punch the shit out of everything, or if because there's so many other top choices here, that it's just going to be somewhere middling. the winner's going to be Josh, isn't it?
It fucking better be.
Or we're all going to ignore that Char is here.
Yeah, I was going to say the TCG fans will show up and vote Blue Lordmon in.
Yeah.
I actually got to play a little bit at the con last week and got to, I had my opponent at one point had 4 Masaru cards kicking my ass. It was absolutely delightful. But somebody showed up after me and absolutely was crushing with a Blue Lordmon deck, and I was in awe.
So he's just as relevant in the card game as he was in the show, where he was actually helpful and cool.
Oh, he's broken in the card game.
Do you remember when we're like, they've introduced him, and it's like the coolest thing, they got the coolest actor, they've set him up to be cool. How terrible would it be if they just like stomped him 5 seconds, and they didn't? He actually was cool.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
Yeah, he's good.
Okay, and then a bit of a turbo for the weekend stuff. Because there were so few news things, Lost actually put in more of the art, the image cards here so we could go through. Great Tame Exchange Tour had its Kansai stop. It feels like after last time, they took less pictures. Because last time, they went like hog wild. This time, slightly more low-key. We also got Ryota from Card Battle posted a shot. I guess Iwai had his birthday. So they did that. Oh, yeah. And also, someone else from Card Battle responded to that tweet commenting they're sorry they weren't able to go, and then congratulated Ryota on his wedding.
Oh.
And then shots from the museum showing off that new Hawkmon stamp. Go Hawkmon! I'm very happy. Hawkmon getting Hawkmon a little respect with the new stamp. Then they showed off the various products on sale at the museum. The main focus was museum exclusive goods and their big Digimon corner. I like all the museum exclusive Paro stuff, I have to say. And the Digimon corner, I just like seeing like the giant Patamon pillow with the... sometimes you don't get the scale of them in the product photos. The Patamon cushion and the giant fucking wings.
Mm. I have so much Patamon stuff and I... So much Patamon stuff and I still want this.
Yeah. And then...
Oh my god, Patamon beanbag chair. That would be amazing.
And then we got
I want an Angoramon beanbag chair, to be honest.
And then we got a tour video of that Chinese pop-up shop. Really nice theming for this place. You got the banners, they have a little Tailmon statue, which I swear it looks like they slightly designed it after the Digivolving Spirit Shell. A little bit. They had towels on display. They had people walking through. They had like a tissue box holder. That's the train.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Agumon plushes. They showed off backpacks. They have the little metal drink mugs. And they have some of the hats that are shaped like Digimon. The Gabumon one is terrifying because they detail the teeth on it.
Oh.
It's just great. Then Tenryu Buno put up the Dreamer stuff for that one. He points out this is the first chapter where Pulsemon has his nickname. And then, because it was his birthday and he got so many nice messages for everyone, he did new art of Pulsemon.
Yay.
And that is cutesy fun art. Mm-hmm. And his arm is evolved into Bulkmon's, I believe. It's weird to, like, when he does the head, it's easy to tell when it's the arm. I'm like, I think that's Bulkmon. I think.
It also makes it distinctive.
It has a little band on it.
Yeah.
It's distinctively Dreamers, too.
Yes.
With that.
It's very much Pulsemon from Dreamers, not generic.
Not Seekers.
Yeah.
Nope. Definitely not Seekers, Pulsemon.
Then for the Vital Bracelet, the Special Selection 2 is out. They put up a little promo image of it. Nothing super special, but a nice little basic one. Dreamers, Tenryu Buno put up Art of 9, and also where he goes, Joe Wakama, W/Akamiya. It's a tribute to the original Tamer who traveled through space and time, which, you know, nice little touch there to explain it. Then they showed off the upcoming Armadamon and Patamon stamps and announced the dates for those. August 31st through September 12th for Armadamon. Patamon's the 14th through the 26th. They said they're still deciding the stamp schedule. They'll announce that. Because I think something else comes out right before the beginning does, so they might jump to something else before Tailmon. I think Toei has something coming out like September 29th or something. So we might get a little jump there. The noise reduction's definitely not getting that. And then AIM and Ayumi Miyazaki went to the Macau comic festival, as they said. We've gotten lots of good pictures from them of it. Them there, Ayumi Miyazaki celebrating his birthday while he was there. Lots of fans. And then, while putting that together, I saw an image post of his I missed from a few days earlier when he was still in Japan. He had a small lunch party with Fukujiro, Kariyama, and Junkanoda, which Daisuke and Viamon. They had yakiniku, and they also ordered him a birthday dessert. And it made him very happy, but he wondered if it was a bit too far before his birthday to actually celebrate it. It was a week before. I can't tell if it was close a joke. Enough. I can't tell if it was a joke in the sense of, oh, it's a bit too early for my birthday, or if the joke's supposed to be he doesn't want to celebrate getting a year older yet. So I wasn't sure, but yeah. So that neat little set of photos. And then it is time for questions. You guys in chat can throw yours up. As we start with one sentence, someone wants to know, how has the wild weather been treating all of us? So the night, so weather out here got very wild for a bit. By very wild, I mean, I checked and I went, I think it's not quite bad enough that I can't order a pizza. And I did.
It's just been oppressive up here. That's it.
The last few weeks have been reasonably hot. The main issue has been at night when the temperature drops just a few degrees and then the humidity just fucking shoots up. So after a day of being hot, you lay down to relax in bed. You put your head on the pillow. And 3 minutes later, it's just a lake.
You're sticking to it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just been oppressively hot out, and naturally last week was the week my kids started soccer practice, so I'm stuck outside for an hour twice a week.
So basically, I think we're all surviving.
You're on the pick like an indoor sport.
We're just all annoyed, basically.
Get him into ice hockey.
Oh no, my nephew's into ice hockey. Do not recommend.
I had family in ice hockey and I would not recommend either. Dylan asked, they've been enjoying the Digimon liner notes. Can there be any insight why they couldn't be put on the discs? Not everything gets to happen. Some things just don't. But it was always part of the plan that if it wasn't approved, that we would just put them online for people to enjoy. And I'm glad that has happened. And that occasionally happens with other extras. Like, for example, Justin's just started uploading the commentaries we couldn't include on the Gunbuster discs, and that's from Jonathan Clements. And if you know who Jonathan Clements is, they are literally the best anime commentaries I've ever heard. So sometimes things just don't work out, and unfortunately not. Then someone wants to know, do you think we will get any sort of big Digimon news outside of the movie itself around when it's coming out or after? I think the first question is, what do you define as big? Like,
I would say the
big life-size Beamon plushie.
I would define big as the next thing.
But they could easily announce the next game around the marketing of the movie to juice it up a bit.
Yeah, that's possible. That I would count that. Otherwise,
it feels like a coin flip to me, honestly.
If it's going to be during the movie, it's going to be something beyond, like, not the anime. A game could definitely be a possibility. Otherwise, the next, whatever they do next anime-wise will be towards the tail end of the run, I would say.
See, I still, like, I know these are big theatrical films, so they can't do what they did during Try. I loved how at the end of the theatrical showings in Try, they had the posters.
Yeah.
For the first showing of it. Like, I would love if they could just go, we want the same crew to do another movie and make a teaser poster so it's just already there. I don't expect it because these are very different projects. And he's becoming so fucking busy.
Yeah. Also because, you know, Try is one of those, the last part of Try is something like everyone is kind of expected to consume pretty much day of. Yeah. Whereas Kizuna, you see it over the course of however many weeks it's in theaters.
They're also going to end up with the problem of actually keeping Taguchi at some point. Like we are functionally a year or two before he's the next generation of a Miyazaki or a Hosoda. Mm-hmm. The amount of hits he's doing lately. Like, remember, they canceled Bleach. Bleach was done because no one cared anymore. He's in charge of the current version of Bleach, which everyone fucking loves, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, but they might have already... Yeah. If they are planning to do something after this, they might have already got him or don't. They might have him or don't have
him. And it also helps that he very clearly fucking loves Digimon.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of changes the game, where he's not just being hired because he'll do it right. He's... wants to be there. Like, he even said, like, Kazuna came out, it did really well, and then while he was working on other stuff, he kind of kept looking at the phone, wondering if they, you know, I guess they don't want to do anymore, so I'll just keep doing other stuff. And then they called and they went, we'd like you to do more, could you include X, Y, and Z? And he's like, absolutely. And then he started getting working on it. And during that time, like, here's the thing, in between Kazuna and when this is coming out, he did Akudama Drive was after Kazuna, I think, that TV show, which he also was the head writer. He did his first standalone theatrical film last year, which he was the director and he did the screenplay. Now he's doing The Beginning. He's the director and the head writer on the current version of Bleach. He's clearly very fucking busy. I hope they're locking him. The most terrifying thing is, have you seen recent photos of him?
No.
You remember the photos of him where, like, he kind of looks like a young kid, like a young upstart?
Oh, no.
Here's here's the current photos of him. Like, he's evolved into, like, the serious director man.
This is his adult form.
Like, you remember how young he looked.
Please give him candy.
Like, just 4 years ago.
Let him have a nap.
Like, just 4 years ago at early Digimon events, how young he looked, right? He looks like a completely different person now. But yeah, are we going to get big news? Something. It's a coin flip. Then someone wants to know... Ramon wants to know, have any of us gotten a pumpkin spice latte yet for this year? I do not drink them. I
don't drink coffee, no.
Literally any...
I don't drink those, but I did manage to find a pumpkin bundt cake, which I absolutely fucking demolished.
My spouse made a syrup of a pumpkin spice syrup the other day. It smelled nice.
Literally any coffee I drink is coffee with a bit of sweetener, not flavored or anything. At most, I might occasionally add a bit of some type of cream. At most. But I'm the weirdo who dislikes coffee. Yeah. Then someone wants to know, do we think brownies are better, cookies are better, or something else?
It depends on the quality.
Yeah,
like brownies and cookies in particular can be so hit or miss.
Brownies can sometimes be so doughy that they're hard to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say,
chocolate, so I can't have too much.
Although
I will say, since
they said something else, it's hard to fuck up a Rice Krispie treat.
I would take a
Definitely can. I'm just saying, like, a good Rice Krispie treat. Oh, I'd love a good Rice Krispie treat.
Sticking with the two choices.
I made them and I've had people offer me.
I would take the best brownie I can conceive over the best cookie I can conceive, but it's more likely that if you give me the choice and I don't
cookie.
If I suspect dubious quality, I will go for the cookie.
Yeah. A dubious cookie is better than an unknown brownie.
Yeah. But best possible brownie. I'd go for a brownie.
Then let's see. Ian wants to know, are there any brick and mortar stores which would be a good place to buying Discotech Blu-rays, or the links I provide the best bet?
I would say I almost crossed the Discotech off of that.
I don't know specifically what brick and mortar stores would carry them. I would just go with Amazon or Right Stuff, honestly. Like, I know Robert's Anime Corner Store carries them.
I miss Suncoast.
Dude, I used to go to Suncoast so fucking much when I was in college. It was like a fucking illness. And that's relevant to the next question.
So
this was a multi-part. Someone said, when I talk about good HDR, what should they be looking for when they're buying a TV or computer screen? Is it brightness? The answer is yes, you should be, but you can get terrible HDR with great brightness. Basically, you want to go to like rtings.com, which is a good review site, because there's more to HDR than just brightness. Like, my computer monitor can do maybe 40% of what you want for good HDR, but it's good enough for computer monitor. I leave the HDR off because it's so bad at separating bright from dark that in HDR mode, the experience is fucking horrendous. Is it more important than resolution? It depends what you want it for. Computer monitor, no. TV, yes. Like, my computer monitor is 1440p. I could have gone 4K. I don't need it for what I'm doing. And then the same person wondered, do I still buy discs that aren't from Discotech? Yes, it's almost like a sickness.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I definitely still get...
Just can't get them from Suncoast anymore.
No. It used to be every Tuesday when it was new disc day, I would go to Suncoast first thing in the morning. Because that is the day new movies came out. I would go to Suncoast and I'd go, what new junk do I need?
Yeah, it was always when I had my internship in Madison, my lunch break, I'd always go over to Suncoast and every week.
There was one Suncoast in the mall that I used to go to, and yep, that was where I first managed to find Pocky.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And here's the rule of most Suncoast FYs in the old days. You had the big anime wall.
Mm-hmm.
Then across from that would be some anime tchotchkes.
Well, I don't remember the tchotchkes.
Some place would have it, some not.
I don't think my mind didn't have the tchotchkes.
Then there would be the displays at the front with the new big releases.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would go to the back, there'd be stuff like Tony Hawk DVDs and special interest stuff. And one of the things I remember is they had a lot of them at the time, they would have that little section with disc accessories. Like, do you remember the little plastic holder things where you push a thing on it and a blade pops out so you can cut the plastic on DVDs?
Oh, yeah. I've got a safer version of that, yeah.
Yeah, I just use an X-Acto knife now.
I use my fucking teeth.
Philistines.
Yeah, but yes, there was... It was... Oh, and there's always the place where they have all the movies that people would just keep buying over and over, and there'd be not only an entire row of Army of Darkness, it'd be 10 different versions of Army of Darkness. at any given movie store, there would be an entire shelf of Bruce Campbell movies with half a dozen versions of every movie. Because if you bought Army of Darkness, you weren't going to buy it just once. You would buy every fucking version.
Groovy.
Exactly.
Up smart.
Looked at that yet. Okay, not going to go over various Digimon shirts and stuff at the moment. I'll look through them. Way too much up and down on random products lately. Like, some people wonder, why aren't I going over the... I think it's like Boba Tees. It's because I can't actually tell if they're for sale in the U.S. or if they're just being imported here and you just happen to be coming across them. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where there's been various milk teas with Digimon branding on them.
Well, we can go over them in a couple weeks if...
Yeah. Well, there's a whole new series of them coming out, is why I mentioned it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
with entirely different flavors. So the shirts, I'll look over stuff and see what's worth us covering. Last chance for questions in chat. So I want to know, for Digimon Adventure to the Being, how are we feeling so far about if we think it'll be good or not? I mean, we have no reason to think it will be bad. Like, we know what he's done before.
Yeah, I
it's
mean
going
the
to be pretty.
Yeah, I mean the theming so far from the new trailer is it.
Oh, I got super fucking amped up from the new trailer.
Yeah,
honestly.
It passes muster for me. Like, it's going to take a lot for me for it to be better than Kizuna, but it could be. Like, it seems like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, and
my standards are low.
Mine are right now. My expectations are. It'll be all right.
My expectations are pretty high, honestly. I'd like to believe we'll meet them, but we will see.
Yeah.
And then that's about it. AR, what have you been up to and what shall you be up to?
I went to Anime Magic last week. I will be going to No Brand Con in Stevens Point next week. I just had this weird run of like three conventions in like a month and a half. It's very strange. So, doing that. I did actually get around to a couple Tumblr asks. I did one last week, and I think I'm going to do one this week as well. So, starting to get back into that groove.
Good. And Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Considering my is a computer hack, let's go with Hackmon.
Haku, haku, haku.
Haku, 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 haku.
I like how me and AR are like both mentally were jumping to the exact same fucking place. And I
one
can
brain
be I can be found with the will as always. And we will probably about 2 weeks again. Thank you everyone for showing up. We will catch you later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.